So today we're continuing our series on growing to spiritual maturity. Growing to spiritual maturity. And the scripture that we're looking at, we're following a passage that Peter wrote in his second book, 2 Peter chapter 1. If you want to turn there with me, or it's going to be on the screen. It says this, His divine power, God's divine power. How many of you know that's a lot of power? That is a lot of power. Do you agree? We're talking about the power that was capable of speaking into existence everything that we know. So He has a lot of power. His divine power has given us everything we need for a life of godliness. But John, what if I can't grow? Spiritual maturity is for others. You know, there's people that out there that that's their thing. They can grow to spiritual maturity. I'm just wanting to get to heaven. I just want to make it to heaven. That's all I want. I don't need to get into this spiritual maturity stuff. I just want to say, all right, Jesus is in my heart, and I just want to kind of slide sideways and maybe even backwards across the pearly gates of heaven. I just want to get there. That's all I want. But look at what it says. His divine power has given you everything you need for a godly life. What is a godly life? It means you begin to live your life as though God and you are friends walking hand in hand. That you begin to live your life in light of God living in you. In light of eternity, in understanding that this is about a relationship with Him. A godly life, a life that says, God, the things that you like, I'm going to decide to like. The things that you don't like, I'm going to decide not to like. That's a godly life. That's what it says. You have the ability to do that. Every one of us. So then he says this. Through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and His goodness. Aren't you glad He's a good God? Through these He has given us. Okay, so through these things that we're about to list. Through these things that Peter's about to list here, He has given us very great and precious promises so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desire. So you have a divine nature when you accept Christ into your life. You become divine in God's way. Isn't that cool? For this very reason, make every effort. All right, so this is where you and I get to participate in the kingdom of God. Make every effort. So it's not just about what God does in us. We get to make some effort into this. We get to participate in the divine nature to add to your faith. All right, so last week we talked about the foundation. The first step is faith in Christ. And when everything falls apart in your life, you'll sometimes find yourself all the way back down to this foundation. How many of you have been there? And some of us, including me, are there right now, right? We've had some difficult times, right? And some of you have had difficult times in this foundation of faith. When everything is shaken, faith is what we land on, right? And he says, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness. Now, we're all grateful that He's a good God. And aren't you grateful when you have good people in your life? So we want to be those good people is what He's saying. Goodness is what we're going to talk about today. Let's finish this passage, though. And to goodness, you add knowledge. And to knowledge, you add self-control. And to self-control, you add perseverance. And to perseverance, you add godliness. And to godliness, you add mutual affection, which is kindness. And to mutual affection, we have love. That's quite a ladder to get to love, isn't it? Well, I'm just a natural loving person, John. Really? Look at all we have to get through to get to love. Now, for this position, For if you possess these qualities, in increasing measure. What is he saying? Spiritual growth, increasing measure. They will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. I want to break that down before we get into goodness really quick. Those last couple of verses. Here we have a description of what it looks like to be spiritually mature right here. He says, for if you possess these qualities that we just listed in increasing measure, if you grow in these things, these qualities will make you effective in the kingdom of God. Well, I just want to do something great for God's kingdom. Will these qualities make you effective in God's kingdom? As you grow in these, where do we get that? It says these qualities will keep you from being ineffective. What's the opposite of that? You'll be effective. So let me ask you a question. On a scale of 0 to 10, how effective are you in God's kingdom? Give yourself a number there. Don't say it out loud, especially if it's like a 2. So 0 to 10, how effective are you in God's kingdom? How effective do you think you are? Then he says, these qualities will make you productive in God's kingdom. He said, they will keep you from being unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So how unproductive, or let's put it this way, how productive are you? On a scale of 0 to 10, how productive, what number do you give yourself in God's kingdom for being productive? And then he says this, not having these qualities will keep you spiritually nearsighted and blind. Not having these qualities will keep you spiritually. So not being spiritually growing in Christ up to love, they will keep you nearsighted and blind. What is he saying? He says, but whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind. So on a scale of 0 to 10, how nearsighted and blind are you spiritually? Give yourself a number. What does he mean by that? He means, can you see that whatever you're going through today has meaning in the kingdom of God for tomorrow? Do you trust God that somehow all things will work for the good because you love him and you're called according to his purpose? Do you trust him for that? No matter what you're going through today, that, you know what, somehow God's going to make sense of this later on. Somehow God's going to use this down the road. Do you see, are you nearsighted that you can only wallow in your pain today? Or do you see that, you know what, there's a kingdom to come. There's a great thing that's coming. This week, the Lord gave me something one morning, and I'm going to hold him to it. Granted, God, I pray it was you, right? February 2nd. God said, 1 year from now is going to be better. It's going to be better. And when I told Emma Grace that, she goes, oh, a whole year? For those of you who don't know, I just lost my wife. We just lost. And it's just awful. Just awful, right? But 1 year from now, February 2nd, I've got it on my calendar. And it's going to give me 2 alerts. It's better, right? How many of you believe with us for that, right? God knows whys of life, and we have to trust him for this stuff. We have to see beyond today. We have to see beyond the pain that we're facing today. And we have to know that there's why. Because we're growing spiritually mature, it will keep us from being nearsighted and blind. Not having these qualities will cause you to live a life of ingratitude towards God. He said this, forgetting that they've been cleansed from their past sins. On a scale of 0 to 10, how grateful are you that God has cleansed you from all of your unrighteousness? How grateful are you? Gratitude changes us. And when someone operates in gratitude, nothing is too difficult for them. When we serve with gratitude, you serve with excitement and gratefully. When we give with gratitude, no amount of giving is too much. We're just so grateful, right? And when you remember that you've been cleansed from all of your sin, you remember that, gratitude fills your heart. And you're able to serve So Peter says in this passage that the next step from faith, the next step is to goodness. Goodness. So here's the ladder. We add to our faith goodness, to goodness knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance we get godliness, and then kindness, and ultimately love. So goodness, what is goodness? Goodness is basically virtue, would be another word. You see, I know a guy that is so grateful for what Christ has done in his life. The forgiveness that Christ has given him in his life. And he washed away all of his sins. He's so grateful for it. He can't get enough of Christ in his life. All throughout the day, he's doing what he can to share with other people at work and everywhere he goes what Christ has done in his life. Why? Because he's just full of gratitude. And he loves it. What did he do when he came to Christ? He began immediately adding goodness to his faith. He began changing his life and doing things different than he had always done. And now when you see this man, he's such a shining example of Christ. You would never know that that's what his past was unless he told you. This is what God has done in my life. He delivered me. He saved me. He changed me. And this is where I am today because of it. But you wouldn't know that by looking at him. He doesn't just hope to get to heaven. This guy actually wants to build God's kingdom and do something for God. He's not just hoping for heaven. He's out of gratitude. He's saying, I'm actually going to build God's kingdom. You see, not only did he stop doing the things that were destroying life, but he started doing the things that built life. In John chapter 8, there was in the temple courts, Jesus and all the people gathered around. You can imagine Jesus standing there and all the people gather around to see what he's going to say. So Jesus sat down and he started teaching them. Well, then the posse came in, the religious people, right? You can hear the music change. Bum, 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 bum. And they all come in and they've got this woman and they're kind of dragging her in and Jesus is there teaching and they throw her over there and they actually stood her in front of the crowd and said, all right, Jesus. You see, they didn't care about this woman. They had caught her in the act of adultery that morning. And they only brought her and not the man that she was with. They didn't care about this woman. They didn't care about her eternal life or anything like that. They were using her as a pawn to get to Jesus and to make Jesus look bad in front of the crowd. And so they bring her in and they said, all right, in the law of Moses, Moses commanded us to stone such a woman. Now what do you say? Well, Jesus, just full of wisdom, right? Perfect response. You see, it was custom back then that the priest, if someone was brought to them, it was customary for them to, the priest to kneel down, and they had to do it on a spot where they could erase it, and, you know, in which the ground would be like the dust. And so they would kneel down and they would write the law that has been broken into the ground. And then next to that, they would also write the name of the person or the names of the people that had broken the law. And that way they could erase it. You know, it's their etch-a-sketch, their chalkboard that they could erase. And don't want to leave that for the next people to see, right? So that was customary. Well, Jesus knelt down and he began to, most likely, doesn't say that's what it is, but most likely he began to write which law had been broken. And the law that had been broken was both the male and the female was supposed to be brought before him and then we're supposed to stone him. So most likely he wrote that law and he began to write the names, starting with the oldest to the youngest, of the people that were standing there with rocks in their hands. And you could only imagine, if that's what happened, Jesus probably blew their minds because he knew their names. Pretty amazing. Well, Jesus then stood up and he said, let any one of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone. Again, he stooped down and he wrote on the ground. At this, those who heard began to go away one at a time, the older ones first, until Jesus, only Jesus, was left with the woman still standing there. Now get the visual of that. How beautiful of a moment. She's standing there. waiting to start being rocked to death. And all of these men go away. And there she is, eye to eye with Jesus. What a beautiful moment. And Jesus straightened her up. I just kind of picture him, because it says she was standing before everybody, that he reaches in and just kind of lifts up her shoulders. She broadens her shoulders and looks at him, and he says, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, sir." "Then neither do I condemn you." And here's what Jesus said. "Go now and leave your life of sin." Those two words, "go now." Go now. He didn't just say, "Hey, stop living the life that brought you here this morning." Stop living that life. He didn't do that. He said, "Go now. Go and live a good life. Not the one that brought you here this morning. Go and live a good life, a better life. Add goodness to your life. Begin to live the good side of life. Begin to do things differently than you've always done them. Embrace a life of goodness, a life that you can be proud of." You may not be proud of your life today, is what he's saying, you know, and she shouldn't be proud of her life today, right? But tomorrow she could be proud of her life if she adds goodness to her life today. Tomorrow she can feel good about who she is. But today, no, you don't need to feel good about yourself. And I'm not going to tell you to feel good about yourself. You shouldn't have self-esteem living the life that you've been living, right? But tomorrow, when you add goodness to your life, you should be able to feel better about who you are. And a life that you can present to him and say, "God, thank you for your grace. I'm grateful for you washing me. Your love for me is wonderful, and I accept that." And listen, God will help us deal with our addictions. God will help us deal with any kind of situation that we've got in our lives. He will help us leave a life that we're not proud of into something that is we can feel good about. God will help us to do that. He will help us add goodness to our lives. The key to this is go now. Go now. Go now. Leave the people that want to keep you stuck where you are. Go now. Find a job where you're a missionary. Do mission work where you are throughout the day, wherever you work. Go now. And instead of eating tasty cakes and Fruit Loops, go now and eat good food, right? I mean, it's the same thing. Go now. Change what you eat. Change what you take in. Change the things that you, where you go and the people that you're with. Change your life. Jesus said, and John the Baptist preached this, change your life. God's kingdom is here. Go now and do it. You see, it's not good enough just to stop eating the things that are bad. We have to start eating the things that are good. It's not enough to stop taking in the things that are bad. We got to start taking in the things that are good. Healthy nutrition, adding goodness to our faith is so important, and that's why you're here this morning. Add to your faith goodness. Romans chapter 8, verses 12 and 13. "Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation." What does that mean? It means somebody has done something for us, and now we're obliged to do something for them, right? And he says, "But our obligation is not to the flesh, to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit," so here's who we're obligated to. We're obligated to God to do something for Him. You put to death the misdeeds of your body, you will live. He says, if you change your life, if you'll go now and leave your life of sin. That means this life in Christ isn't just about saying no to the ungodly, it's about saying yes to the godly. You, to live a good and healthy lifestyle, goodness. Goodness. James David, would you come? Yes to being honest. To say yes to a moral life. To say yes to ministry. To say yes to building God's kingdom. It means becoming godly. Becoming godly. Yes to not just barely making it to church on Sundays, but when you walk in the back door, you go, I'm here. Let the party begin. I'm here. That's a way different approach than just, oh, I made it. I made it. Vivian was telling me before church, you know, her culture, If they say that church starts at 10:15, you're wasting your time if you show up at 10:15. 11:15 is when everyone else is coming. Don't just barely make it into the kingdom of God. Go now. Change your life, for God's kingdom is here. Isn't that beautiful? When I look around this church family, I see that. I see people who have changed their lives because of what Christ has done in them. I see it. Some of you have laid down addictions. Some of you were homeless at some point. Some of you are pastors' kids, which are the worst of the worst. When I first met some of you, you were skeptical of church. You were skeptical of the body of Christ. You weren't sure about even this God thing. Maybe you'd had experiences growing up or in your early adulthood life. I love what Chloe said last week, and I know she wouldn't mind me sharing this because we shared it last Sunday. We commissioned Chloe as she's going out to be a kids pastor. Isn't that exciting? People leave church for a lot of reasons, but boy, this one was a good one. Amen? And Bill and Jana were so proud of her. But I love what she said last week when we were talking about it on the phone. She said, Pastor John, the one thing that really stands out to me is I learned to love the church. I didn't think I could ever do that. She loved Jesus, but to fall in love with the church, it's just beautiful, isn't it? His mission, his kingdom, and what he's trying to accomplish. She went now, right? She's doing what she's called to. And when I met some of you the first time, man, some of your lives were in such a mess. But you're on to bigger and better things. Your marriages are stronger. Your families are stronger. Addictions are gone. Health is better. You're working in God's kingdom to build his kingdom. You're doing what he's called you to do. And you're not just trying to get to heaven anymore. You're actually building and doing something for God. It's beautiful. You have added goodness to your lives. And you should feel good about that. So I want to end with this scripture. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus. All right, so you understand, in the Old Testament, in the Old Temple, there was the Holy of Holies. It was the most holy place. And only once a year could the high priest go in there to offer sacrifices and to solidify that sacrifice. And the crazy thing is, that sacrifice on the Day of Atonement was only good to roll back the sins another year. In other words, if you skip a payment on your house, what does it do? It rolls it back to the end of your house payments, right? You still got to pay it. There's still a price to pay, and it's going to be there, and all of the interest is accrued because of that one house payment that you didn't make. You guys get the picture? Their sins were only pushed back until that final payment that Jesus made on the cross for them. Isn't that awesome? But us, we don't have to wait for that. We don't have to have that. Christ has already forgiven us. We just got to embrace that relationship with Him. And He says, therefore, brothers and sisters, we have confidence to enter the most holy place, the place where God dwells, by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened up for us through the curtain that is His body. And since we have a great high priest or great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart. Hear how personal that sounds? He's talking about a personal relationship with Christ. Draw near to Him with a sincere heart and with a full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience. How many of you want that? He cleanses us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. For He who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Didn't we do that this morning? Spurring one another on with Abby, and it's just, it's beautiful. Spurring one another on to good deeds, to adding goodness to our lives. Now that's different than walking around and going, oh, did you hear what Maria did this week? She wasn't a good girl. Maria, I'm just, please, if something happened, I don't know about it, I promise you. She added goodness this week. How many of you have been in a church like that before? The scripture says love covers over a multitude of sins. God forbid we go around sharing other sins. Amen? Love covers over a multitude of sin. So we add to our lives goodness, and we spur one another on to good deeds. Come on, get up. Let's move forward. Let's do better. Come on, you can do better than that. Let's give God our best, spurring each other on for it. And I love this part, not giving up meeting together. That means show up for church, right? And then he does say this, as some are in the habit of doing, you know, giving up the meeting. But encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. The day, capital D, day. What is he saying? Don't be nearsighted and don't be blind. Jesus is coming back. And no matter how difficult today is, we know. Don't be nearsighted. Don't be blind. But to do that, you've got to grow in these things. You've got to grow to spiritual maturity. So today, decide, I'm going to add to this foundation of faith in my life. I'm going to add goodness. I want to be on the good side. And that doesn't mean just coming to church. All those guys that walked in with that woman that day, those guys were churchgoers. But they still had Darth Vader's music playing behind them. didn't help anything, didn't fix anything. Adding goodness to our lives and growing to spiritual maturity, a relationship with Christ, is what will. Will you bow your heads? You know, if you walked into your bedroom today and it was just an absolute wreck, you could look around the room and go, okay, but where do I start? And it would be easy for you to just feel overwhelmed. Where do I start? And you ask yourself, what's the one thing that I could do to make this room better today? And if you do that one thing, it'll be better. And then maybe tomorrow you go back in and say, what's the one thing I could do today to make this better? What are you doing? You're bringing good into that room. And it's the same thing with your life. So I ask you today, what is the one thing that you could do? Well, John, my life is so messed up. I've got so many problems. I'm just emotionally distraught. Okay, just the one thing. What is the one thing you can do today to add goodness to your life? What is it? That one thing. And then tomorrow, ask God, God, what's one thing that I can do today to add goodness to my life? But today, just focus on this one. And now in your heart, begin to talk to Him. God, I want this to change in my life. And I ask you for it. I ask you for strength and the ability to add goodness to my life. I know it's a lifelong journey, but I want to be on the right side. I want to be on the right team, your team. And maybe you're here today, and today is the day that you lay that foundation of faith. Before you can even begin to try to add goodness to your life, you've got to have faith, a foundation of belief in Christ as your Lord and your Savior. And right now, where you are, just say, Jesus, I believe in you. I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you died for my sins, and I'm so grateful for that today. Thank you for your forgiveness. I want to get to know who you are. I want to like what you like, and I want to choose to dislike what you dislike. I want to get to know you, a real relationship with you. And I invite you into my life. Be my God. And I thank you for that. And Father, today we're making some commitments all across this room to be better for you. Not just so that we can look good, but God, so that we can even be good. Good for you. When the doors are shut and we're alone, that we'll be good, that we'll talk to you, we'll learn from you, and we'll do the things that you've called us to grow and build your kingdom. God, we don't want to just barely make it to heaven. We want to build the kingdom of God. Thank you for the opportunity to work with you. In Jesus' name. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you accepted Christ today, I just want to give you an opportunity to say, yeah, John, that's me. Maybe you just reaffirmed your faith today. Maybe it was a rededication. But if for the first time, or maybe the first time in a long time, you've talked to God today, you said, yes, God, I want you in my life. Right where you are, I just want you to look up at me until my eyes catch yours. Okay? Okay? All right? Anybody else? All right.